Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I know that Thanksgiving is coming up this week, and I'm really looking forward to Thanksgiving and all of the food, and I'm looking forward to the great meal that we're going to have today. But I got to tell you, I'm really looking forward to Christmas, and I don't want to scare anybody, but Christmas Eve is a month from today. So if anyone doesn't have your Christmas shopping done, you've got one more month to get that done. But Christmas is a great time, isn't it? Like, there's a lot of great holidays, but Christmas, with just all of the different things, like the singing and the time with family and the gift giving and the gift receiving, the going to get the Christmas tree, this is something that we do the day after Thanksgiving every year. All of the great food, all of the great desserts, and I absolutely love the Christmas services here at St. John's. All of the family services and then the candlelight services. It's such a beautiful time of year, and I can hardly wait for Christmas. Like I said, we've got a month to go. Now, knowing that we've got a month to go, how should you and I be waiting for Christmas? I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really excited about it, but how do I spend the next month? Do I just put something on my door, a sign that says, out of the office until Christmas? Is that how I wait for Christmas? I better not, because I think by the time Christmas shows up, there will be calls throughout the congregation for a new pastor. We're looking for a guy that is a little more accessible than this one that we have right now. No, that's not how we wait, right? We've got stuff to do in the meantime. If I put something like that on my door, that would be completely inappropriate. No, the waiting that you and I are doing as we wait for Christmas, it's an active waiting. We can be excited, but we've got stuff to do in the meantime. Like I said at the beginning of this service, this is the last Sunday of the church year. This is the time that we focus on the fact that Jesus Christ is coming very, very soon. He's already come, but he's coming again. And this is something that if you're excited about Christmas, you should be really excited about the second coming of Christ. Because of passages like this from our Old Testament lesson, it says, listen to me, my people. Hear me, my nation. Instruction will go out from me. My justice will become a light to the nations. My righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on the way, and my arm will bring justice to the nations. The islands will look to me and wait in hope for my arm. When Jesus Christ comes again, everything is going to be made well. Every injustice is going to be corrected. Every difficulty that you and I are going through is going to be fixed. Every illness, every disease that we live with is going to be healed once and for all. We just sang this in the hymn, "The Bridegroom Soon Will Call Us." It says, "Their God shall from all evil forever make us free, from sin and from the devil, from all adversity, from sickness, pain, and sadness, from troubles, cares, and fears, and grant us heavenly gladness and wipe away all our tears." Doesn't that sound amazing? And that's coming. When you look at what the Bible says is the end times are going to look like, it's starting to look like that. And that means that Jesus Christ is at the door. And all of these amazing things are coming our way. I can hardly wait. It's going to be an amazing day, and our imaginations can barely even understand how good that's going to be. And so this waiting for Jesus, once again, is not a passive thing. I can't put something on my door out of the office until Jesus comes. No. What God has for us to do in the meantime is very important. Yes, we're watching. Yes, we're waiting for that time. But in the meantime, He's got stuff for us to do. In Mark 13, it says, be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. When our Lord Jesus died on that cross and rose again and ascended up into heaven, He's been sitting there at the right hand of the Father, ruling over heaven and earth ever since. And every one of His people that comes onto this earth, He gives them an assigned task to do. And He says to all of us, watch for that day that I'm coming back. That is a very active watching. So what does this look like, this watching and waiting that God has for us? Well, if we go to our epistle lesson for today, I think we get a little bit of a taste of what that looks like. In Jude, it says this, but you, dear friends, by building yourself up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you, here's the key word, wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. Let's break that down here a little bit. First of all, we'll start with verse 21. It says, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Now, what does it mean to keep ourselves in God's love? Is He saying that it's hard to keep God loving you? It's hard to impress Him enough so that He continues to love you? Is that what it's saying? Well, that certainly would not fit what the rest of the Bible says about God's unbelievable, unconditional love. No, that's not what He's saying there. This leads to our very important point. It's this. Nothing, absolutely nothing, will ever be able to separate you from God's love, His forgiveness, His protection, His guidance, and all of the other blessings that God wants to give you. Nothing will ever be able to separate you from that. We see that in Romans 8. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will ever be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing will ever be able to separate you from God. Why? Because in Ephesians 2 it says, now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus Christ's first coming was all about. Because of our sin, the Bible says that we had been separated from God. And so Jesus took all of our sin upon Himself, and He paid for it so that there would no longer be any separation, so that now we and God could be drawn close together, never having to be apart again. And that is God's will for every one of us, that now we would have a close, intimate relationship with Him all the days of our life and even into eternity. know nothing on this planet or nothing below this planet, no demon, nothing can take you away from God's love. The only way you could ever be separated from God's love is if you separate yourself from Him. Nothing on this planet can ever rip you away from God. The only thing that could ever separate you from Him is yourself. You know, there's a lot of people in this world that unfortunately are living completely separated from God. That's not God's will for them. God would immediately take them in. But they have decided to live apart from Him. And you know, like the hymn says, we are prone to wander. Even as Christian people, we are prone to leave the God that we love. That's our MO. That's what we normally do, is we walk away from God. Now, we may not say, God, leave me alone. I don't want to have anything to do with you. But little by little, it's so easy for us to just forget about Him, to not have Him be a part of our life. And as the days and the weeks go by, pretty soon we realize that we are living separated from Him. And that's never God's will for our lives. God doesn't want that, especially as it's getting close to His second coming. And so how can we make sure that we never begin to start taking steps away from God? Well, it tells us in Jude, verse 20, but you, dear friends, by building yourself up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love. What's the first thing He says up there? He says, build yourself up in your most holy faith. How do we build up our faith? Well, the Bible tells us in Romans 10, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How do we build up our faith as we wait for Jesus Christ to come? We put ourselves around the Word of God. I'm speaking to the choir here today. You're here. You have intentionally got up early this morning to put yourself around the Word of God. Because according to His promise, as we do these things, it builds up our faith. But hopefully this 1 hour or so that we're going to be together on a Sunday morning is not the only time that you put yourself around the Word of God. If you don't have a quiet time, a regular time that you sit down with God and read His Word and let Him speak to you through those amazing words, this is a great time to get started. Next week is the beginning of a brand new church year. What a great time to get into the Word of God, to get into daily devotions, and to allow Him to build up your faith. Like I said, it's so easy for us to just kind of walk away from God and just not make Him as big of a part of our life as He would like to be. Remember, the first commandment is He says, I don't want anything to be above me. I want to be first place in your life. And one of the ways that we can do that is regular times with Him in His Word. But He's got another thing up there. He says, dear friends, build yourself up in your most holy faith through the Word of God, and also by praying in the Holy Spirit. Once again, it's so easy, isn't it? It all comes down to these two things: spending time in the Word and spending time in prayer. Now, what does it mean to pray in the Holy Spirit? It means to allow the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you since the day you were baptized to help guide your prayers. Now, there's going to be plenty of prayers that you and I are going to pray. Prayers of, God, help me. Help me with this sickness. Help me with this job situation. help me with this person in my family or my good friend that doesn't know you. Those are all good prayers. But the ideal is to say, Holy Spirit, help me to pray. Tell me what is on the Father's heart so I can pray along with you. I oftentimes do this in the morning. In my quiet time, I'll have my God help me prayers. But then I'll say, God, what's on your heart? And I'll just wait there for a little bit. I might sing a song of praise to him. And all of a sudden, somebody's face or somebody's name will come to mind. And it's almost like God is saying, I want you to pray for that person. And so then I'll pray for that person. I'll pray for another person, whoever God brings to my mind, or for a situation. And then oftentimes I will give that person a call a little bit later on, and I'll always get this. Pastor, you couldn't have called at a better time. Well, I didn't know, but the Holy Spirit did. And as you see those God-cidences, those godly coincidences take place, you know what it does? It builds up your faith because you realize you're hearing from Almighty God. And as we are waiting for that amazing day when he's going to make everything new, he tells us here in Jude, build yourself up in your faith. Get into the Word of God. Spend some time in prayer every day. Let the Holy Spirit guide your prayers. And all of that is going to build you up in the Lord. But you know what? Jude tells us, coming up here, it's not just about us. It's not just about us building ourselves up as we wait for Jesus to come. He's also got things for us to do that have nothing to do with us. He says in verse 22 and 23, be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. There's a lot of things that God wants us to actively be doing as we wait for Jesus coming that have to do with other people, because God loves other people as well. The first thing he tells us to do is be merciful to those who doubt. He's referring here to those that are already Christians, to those that have received Jesus and have been baptized, but maybe are struggling with some doubts in their life. And I think if we're honest, every one of us have been there at some point, right? Maybe you're there right now. Maybe you're struggling to just believe all of those things that the Bible is telling us to believe. Well, what are we to do with those people? We are to be merciful to them. We are to be patient with them. We are to pray for them. We are to help them, if we can, through some of those doubts that they might have. I found this quote this week from Pastor Timothy Keller. It says, while we want doubts to give way to faith, we should be merciful and patient with those who are still in a doubt-troubled place. We all take our turns. We all take our turns going through tough things in our life. And when we go through those really tough times, sometimes it challenges our faith. But this is why God never called us to be Lone Ranger Christians. He put us into a church family to be there for one another, to help one another, to pray for one another, to help each other work through the doubts and the struggles that we're going through. That's one of those really important things that God wants us to be doing for each other as we wait for that day when he's going to make everything well again. But then he also says this, save others by snatching them from the fires of hell. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. So now he's no longer talking about those that are inside the church that are dealing with difficult things. He's talking about those that are outside the family of God. How are we to look at the people in the world that don't know Jesus Christ? Are we to look at them with anger and shake our fist at them because they oftentimes are doing things that are completely against what you and I believe? No, actually. Even though they may be actively fighting against God and maybe against you and me, our Heavenly Father still loves them with an amazing love. In fact, it says in 1 Timothy 2, God wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, if God wants every person to be saved by coming into a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, if that's the reason that Jesus died, because God loved the whole world that He gave His one and only Son, then that has to be our heart for the lost as well. If God doesn't want anyone to be condemned, then we can't want anyone to be condemned either. A number of years ago, I was in Wisconsin, and I remember one day this pastor, Lutheran pastor, and his wife said that they wanted to pray for me. And they prayed for me like nobody has ever prayed for me before or since. They prayed over me for 3 hours. And at the end of that 3 hours, I was at their house. I was driving back to my house, which was about 10 or 15 minutes away. And tears were rolling down my face. Why? Because for the first time in my life, I couldn't handle the fact that so many people were going to die apart from Christ. That so many people, when Jesus Christ comes again, were going to be lost. I had always felt badly that people didn't know Jesus, but never to the point of tears. And what I felt like the Lord did to me that day through those 3 hours of prayer is He gave me a taste of His heart. That's God's heart for the lost. He loves them so much, and He knows that the only way for them to be with Him for eternity is to come into a relationship with His Son. Jesus has done all that was necessary, and all that needs to happen now is for people to just receive it as a free gift to them. But God also knows that not everybody's going to do that. And that's why He says to you and me, save others by snatching them from the fire. Show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. Hate the sin, but love the sinner. That's what God is calling us to have His heart in these last days as we look forward to His coming. And so if we're going to put a sign on our door, it shouldn't be out of the office until, but maybe one like this: caution, work in progress. There are things that God wants us to do as we wait for that incredible day. Build ourselves up in the faith. Spend lots of time talking to Him. You've been brought close by the blood of Jesus. Reach out to your brothers and sisters in Christ when they're going through crises in their life. When they're going through the doubts and the struggles, be there for one another. And also don't forget those outside the church. Your neighbors, your co-workers, your relatives that don't know Jesus. Love them enough to pray for them, to look for opportunities to share with them the good news about Jesus Christ. He's got stuff for us to do. Now, if you think that this is kind of a little overwhelming to know that God has all these things to do, this active waiting for His second coming, I'm going to finish this message with the end of the book of Jude. This is a great passage where God is telling us, I see you. I see what you're seeking to do as you wait for my coming. and I want you to know I'm there to help you. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. And all God's people said, amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.